I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Daniel.
Hi, I'm Daniel, compulsory.
Oh, where's my time?
You know what? Give me 10 minutes to wrap up. Okay, so you'll know when I'm ready to wrap up when I pass out. Hi everyone, I'm Daniel, compulsive overeater.
Hi Daniel.
Thank you, John, for asking me to speak for 40 minutes. What can I do for 40 minutes and keep you interested? Okay, I have a problem, and no, not that kind of problem. I have a problem, it's called life. And how I deal with life was through food. Anything that made me uncomfortable, anything that didn't suit my way, if I wanted to get back at you or if I wanted to be happy, I used food. That's how I did it. I used food to the T. I was very precise in what I ate and how I ate. When I came to these rooms, all I wanted was just the diet. How do you lose the weight? And basically, that's it. And those years when I came into this program, in 1983, there was the gray sheet and the dignity of choice, which is back, but made its grounds again. So I got the diet and I followed it religiously. You know, and basically I chose the third plan on there. Basically anything that tastes good, spit it out type of diet. That's what it was. boiled chicken and vegetable, that's all I ate. And I love the hugs and I love the fraternity and the fellowship. It was really cool. And not working the steps or getting a sponsor, so I lost 70 pounds on that alone. And I have what was called a pink cloud. And I was everything was effortless. Coming to meeting was a joy. Sitting down eating my food was no problem. I had nothing to worry about until life hit me. And when life hit me, it scared the crap out of me. And I went ahead and I started to eat. And I remember how it started was, I can have one bite of donut. And I remember because my kids had gotten home with the donuts and they'd gotten them off the truck, the ice cream truck, and I said, let me try one of those little ones. And I took a bite and I gave it back to them. And no sooner I gave it back to them, something in my head said, don't give it back. So I took it back and then I said, you know what, why don't you go get me a pack? I don't want to eat yours. And I started eating and that started everything. And man, I couldn't stop. And I remember I was gaining all this weight back. And, people were telling me, you're gaining weight. You don't have to gain it all back. Well, I couldn't stop. I can't tell you how many times I've relapsed in this program. I've relapsed and gotten back into abstinence, relapsed, gotten back into abstinence. And I was doing the same thing, expecting different results, which was insanity. So I would relapse. I said, okay, I just don't eat flour or not eat sugar this month. Not to eat any greasy food this week, you know, and I would try for a while, and then I'd fall back into the same trap. So basically what I was doing, I was blaming the substance for my problems. I wasn't dealing with me. So, and as I mentioned the other night at another meeting, it's not what's on my plate that's the problem, it's what's around my plate. See? I was always blaming the vegetables, the fries, the burgers, the sweets, the fats, the crunchies, whatever. Those are my problems. If I could just control them, that will be the cure. And you know what? We have loved ones that reinforce that type of thinking. They say, you know, you should just eat fats or stay away from sugars. And they're the same ones that will come up to you and say, look, I bought these donuts for you. What are you supposed to do with that? We'll just have one. Well, I don't understand about people that are able to grab one chip, eat it, and then fold the rest of the bag and put it away. I don't understand that concept. That's sort of alien. Because if it were up to me, I'd be rubbing my body off. There must be some formula, like a chocolate patch or a beetle patch that you could wear. So I, for many years, came to this program thinking my only problem was weight. That's my own. If I could just lose weight, everything would fall into place. Everything would work. And that's how I came in here. And I would see people come in the program and they get physical recovery and they become superstars. And I'm going,
well, shit, what book are they reading?
or what sponsor do they have? Or what meetings are they going to? Because obviously I'm not going to the right meetings, and I don't have the right sponsor, and I'm not reading the right damn book. So, what finally happened to me was that there is something that I had to come to a realization. One is, all diets work. Every medical treatment out there works to lose weight. You can join any type of exercise and diet plan wherever you want, and they all work. The problem is none of them show you how to keep it off. That's what this program is about. So how you lose weight, that's your business. But how you keep it off is here. This is the business here. So, what happened was, is it 40 minutes in? Because of the way I was thinking, that got me up to 400 pounds. And I have pictures here. It got me up to 400 pounds and size 58 waist, bad knees, horrible back problems, high blood pressure, acid reflux, sleep apnea, and yet you would think with all those symptoms, oh, and I hated myself tremendously. I mean, just the look of myself, I avoided mirrors. And whenever I dressed myself, I always dressed myself from the neck up. So my hair was always in place. I have hair, believe it or not. But my hair was always in place, but never did I look down. As long as the clothes fit, I figured I hit a home run. The clothes fit, that's cool. And if I made it to Monday after a long weekend of binging, and the clothes still fit, I figured that, you know, I beat it out one more time. So, at 400 pounds, you really don't have much of a life. You know, my life consisted of, I'll tell you what the highlights of my life was at 400 pounds, was to get a big pizza and a large Diet Coke, because the Diet Coke would wash away calories. It would count. And a horrible movie. So unplug the phone, don't answer for the creeps, and just eat myself into oblivion until I passed out. And the only thing that came out of my mouth was, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Every time something came out of my mouth was, I'm so damn tired. You'd think I'd be digging ditches all day long. You know, my job is just basically to move a mouse. And not a rodent, but a mouse. You know, clicking here and typing, and that's basically the most physical exercise I ever got. But yet at the same time, I was always tired because I was carrying 400 pounds and God knows how many years of baggage. The hard part was to try to convince me that food was not my problem. Food was just my symptom. That was the hard part, because all my life, even since a child, all I heard was, you need to go on a diet. So I want to talk tonight about the insanity and the obsession of this disease. Not necessarily the physical part. But the insanity works something like this. My head says, you know what, we should have these donuts. Now you deserve it. You've been on a diet all week. My body says, you know, we shouldn't, because we're starting to have high blood pressure. My head says, you know what, we'll do the diet next week. But tonight, you deserve those Fritos. My body says, you know what, we have diabetes type 2. My head says, you know what, we should have that double bacon cheeseburger tonight. My body says, you know what, we've got acid reflux now, Sparkies. and on, that's the craziness, the insanity of this disease, that it talks me into doing crazy things, though I know that they're dangerous and damaging to me, yet I still do it, and that's the insanity. Now, people look at us and they go, we must be stupid. We must be dumb, because if we really were smart, we would know that we're eating ourselves to death. So they treat us like we're morons. You need to follow this diet. You need to weigh and measure, count your calories. And they talk to us slow. like we're the slow cousins from up north. I mean the valley, by the valley. Not too far. So they talk to us like that, and they want to get some form of point of cross to us, and little do they know, the inner there is this rebellious nature that's telling them, up to you, I'm going to show you that I'm going to lose weight by eating more. Okay? Now, here's the crazy part. We as compulsive overeaters decide to get into relationships with other compulsive overeaters. That is crazy. Because now you got two of them supervising each other's program. Have you called your sponsor? You should go to meet with them. Is that on your food plan? Is that on your abstinence? How many times are you reading the big book? It's crazy. It's crazy. And you don't want to go out with them anywhere because it's a crazy, crazy event. But you can see it's a circus. I went up with a couple that had been in program for many years, and one of them decided to do OA How. And she brought her scales with her. And we sat there weighing and measuring at a pizza place. I don't understand this. How do you weigh a slice of pizza? To each his own. The voices in my head have my voice, so they're very familiar, so they're very strong, and they have authority. So if my head says, you do this, I do it. I don't question it. See, when you're in your disease, when we are in our disease, we have no choices. We do what we're told. The head says, do this crazy step, we'll do it. Eat at midnight, fine. Blame it on Ambien in the morning. You know, tell yourself, so you know I'm taking Ambien and I'm eating at night, man. What did I tell you? And that's the craziness of this disease, that we obey it. So, in the disease, we have no choices. In recovery, we have choices. In recovery, we're given 8 tools to work with. And that's what the beauty of recovery, what it does. It gives you the opportunity to have a choice. That before I obsess and follow this crazy nut in my head, I'm able to call, write, read, go to a meeting, and all the rest of the opportunities. I'm able to be of service. You have no idea the service commitment that saved my ass many times. So that's the insanity of the disease. So we'll talk about the obsession a little bit. Let's not talk about food now. Let's talk about we go to work on a Monday. Friday, everybody says, hello, hey, have a good weekend, bye-bye, bye-bye. And you show up and one person doesn't like you that day. And doesn't talk to you. And you say to yourself, well, what did I do? Jim, why are you pissed off? I'm not mad. Are you sure you're not mad? I'm not mad. Jim, I think you're... I'm not mad right now. Now I'm mad. We obsess over little things. Over every, you know, whether, you know, if we get a flat, in recovery we'll call our sponsor. In our addiction, we'll call suicide prevention. You know, it's down the road of recovery that we'll call AAA. That takes years of recovery. But for now, we'll call the sponsor. You know, I got a flat. Well, call AAA, Sparky. Yeah. Okay, so those are the things that the obsession of the mind that manifests itself in this crazy body of mind. Okay, that I don't understand when you're telling me that yes means yes and no means no. I second guess you and I obsess. And I'm always walking around that the day these people really know who I am, they're going to fire me. Or the day they really know who I really am, they're going to take away that degree. Or the day that they really know who they are, they're never going to like me again. And those self-destructive thoughts are there. And how do we know they're there? It's manifested in the relationships that we have outside. We have abusive partners, we have abusive relationships, very toxic relationship with our family, and they're there, and we're attracting them. An addict, a recovering addict is one that finds that something that works. And an addict in relapse is one that found something that works and stops doing it. Okay. One of the first signs of my relapse was I stopped coming to meetings. I came up with all sorts of excuses. Now my job is more important. I don't have time. I have to study. I have my family. And the first thing I used to tell my sponsor is, look, I need to get a life. And he says, but isn't your recovery more important? And I said, well, of course it is, but I'll go when I have a chance, I have a time. So maybe my relapse did not happen overnight, but man, I stopped coming to meetings. And do you know why I come to meetings? I come to meetings because I need to have my brain washed. Because I have a bunch of faulty data. And I come here to get centered. For there is one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he manifests himself in Daniel's head. No. In our conscience. This is where I get my center. This is where I get my spirituality. This is where I get the emphasis that I need to focus on me. See? I'm not normal with food. I used to be the literature person for Happy, Joyous, and Feeding in the Westside Pavilion years ago. And I happened to have been in San Pedro that night, and I had to be up here before 7:30, so I needed, for those of you who have heard the story, forgive me, but I needed to get up there, and I hadn't had dinner. And I know I was going to show up just in time with this literature, because it was two friggin' suitcases. And how I got to that, I'll tell you in a second, but I stopped at Popeye's Chicken, and I bought a five-piece dinner. And I hit the freeway on this jalopy that I had, been very held together by miracles. And I'm hustling 70 miles an hour, and I grab a drumstick, and I bite into it, and it was super hot. And I burn my lips, and, oh my God, I'll never finish this food before I get it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, how am I going to eat this food? And I roll down the window, and I stuck the drumstick out. And I cooled that drumstick. And I bit into it, and I said, I'm a fucking genius. That's amazing. I beat the system. And I grabbed a chicken wing, and I held it hot again, and it slipped out of my fingers. And I wanted to slam the brakes. Normal people don't do that with food. See? And I got to that meeting feeling deprived because instead of having five pieces of chicken, I only had four. And I got to that meeting feeling so deprived. A 400-pound man is going to So I told this to my sponsee not too long ago. And he calls me and says, I'm really pissed at you. Why are you pissed? Because you gave me a suggestion how to cool my food down. I said, I didn't give you a suggestion. I told you what I had done. He says, what did you do? He says, well, I bought the burger and some fries. And the fries were really hot, and I held them outside, and I lost half of them. I said, I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to read the big book. So we're not normal with food. You know, we hide food, we put it under the bed, under the car, you know, under the car seat, we put it in some weird places, and you know, in the bathroom, you know, and it's all, normal people don't do that, you know. And how I knew that was not normal was because I had a girlfriend who decided to supervise me in my food. And we'd gone to have sushi, and I'm ordering all these rolls. And she says, you're ordering too much goddamn food. And I said, okay, well, take off this, take off that, take off that. And so I said, two rolls. And I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to have enough. I'm going to die. It's not going to be enough food. What am I going to do? I should eat before I die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the waitress looked at her and says, what are you going to order? She says, well, I'll take that. So she writes it down. The waitress can barely speak English. So they come back with my two easy rolls a few minutes later. And they come back to her with this huge ship, wooden ship, full of sushi. And they place it in front of her. And he says, what is it? He says, this for me? He says, yeah, you ordered that. I said, oh, wow. You know, poor girl, she drove her crazy. Compulsive overeaters will drive people crazy. Because there are weeks that we decide not to have any flour, we throw everything out the flour, and the family say, what happened to the flour? And that day we have no more sugar, we throw all the sugar and put sugar. Where's the sugar? You know? Or that day, we're not going to have any more cookies, and everything goes out the door, you know. And then next thing you know, we replace everything plus more. And they're going, what happened? You know, we're not very deep. We're not sane people. We're cuckoo for cocoa buses. Okay. So, being in service has saved my ass. Now, it's not always been, I haven't really done it all by my own volition, I'll be honest with you. I've sometimes been forced. And how I became a literature person to that meeting was this cute little blonde girl I met. She says, you know, on Friday night, it's a really nice meeting. I said, really? She says, yeah, why don't you come over? We can have dinner together. I said, hey, it's meant to be. I showed up Friday, we had dinner. Pretty, all I kept doing was staring at her. I wasn't even eating. And they said, we need a literature person. Perfect girl, you know, served, perfect meeting. She stopped coming to that damn meeting. She left. And I'm stuck with these two freaking suitcases full of literature. And that was my little Eskimo that kept me there. So service keeps me alive. Service. Now, sometimes it can be an inconvenience to be in service because sometimes I want to do other things, you know? But I'll tell you what. A lot of times, I can't tell you how desperate I've been to come to a meeting and someone had the strength to open that door and let me in. That saved me my life. And for you people that are doing service, you're saving someone's life. Because this disease has made me to want to kill myself. See? And coming to those doors and knowing that someone's there to open it for me has saved my life. So I'm very grateful for this program. I came into this program as a very religious person. And those are the worst kind to have when you're 400 pounds. Because for you in order to get spirituality into the head, forget it. You know, for you to say that you need to have a higher power, I already have one. See, I had a God that always is interested in what goes on in other countries, the famines and the wars. But God, don't fuck with my food. That's my territory. You know, I'll deal with it in a mature way because I can handle it. And that I can handle it is very difficult for me because I do not know how to handle food. You leave it up to my own little thinking and I'll come up with some very creative ways of doing things. If you ever want to talk to a normie who's always at normal weight, ask them how they eat. They eat the same thing every day. Me, being 400 pounds, I'm very creative. I'll eat here, I'll eat there, I'll eat this much, I'll eat that much. That's what got me there. Yeah. So, how did I change my thinking? Well, first of all, I had to know the motivation why I wanted to lose weight. Okay. And when I did some really serious writing on this, the only reason I wanted to lose weight was to get laid. So, to get laid and lose weight doesn't really last very long, you know? Like an orgasm only lasts so long, you know what I mean? Well, that doesn't really work. So I had to go back and look at my priorities and my values. So what finally got me to observe and change my thinking was I wanted to live because I was starting to pay the toll of this disease. The high blood pressure, diabetes type 2, I was taking metformin. Diabetes medication. The sleep apnea, the acid reflux. I remember I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'm choking on my own vomit. You know, and then I used to eat a lot of spicy food. That whole esophagus was burning. You know, and I'm scaring the hell out of the person next to me the next day. And I can barely breathe. You know, and I'm saying to myself, fuck, why did I eat that? You stupid piece of shit. Why did you do that? And like every alcoholic will say, I'll never drink that again. I'll never do that again. But somewhere along the line, the following day, he talks himself to doing it again. That's the insanity and that's the obsession of this disease. I want to live today. This disease kills people whether you eat less or eat more, or you're going to get rid of your teeth with all the stomach acids, or you're going to screw yourself internally, your esophagus is going to wind up breaking its blood vessels, whatever. This disease will kill you if you don't put a bullet to your head already. So this is a dangerous disease, and it's a very physical disease. You can tell when you're gaining weight, you can tell when you're not gaining weight, you can tell when you're losing pressure. So it's all there. And unfortunately, in this program, we will love you to death. We will love you to death. We'll see yourself killing you. We'll still clap when you're dead. Compulsive overeater.
but we will not help you. I don't understand that.
Because you go to NA or AA, if I walk in drunk, they're going to grab me and say, hey man, what can I do to help you?
Yeah.
It could be because as children, when people would say, they can call me stupid, they can call me dumb, but don't call me fat. Because you'll always have an enemy. Okay. So the change of the thinking. Alcoholics Anonymous has a sheet that says, have you ever had any financial problems because of your drinking? Have you ever had any problems in relationships because of your drinking? Have you ever had problems at work because of your drinking? Replace the word drinking with thinking. Have you ever had problems in relationships because of your thinking? Have you ever had problems financially because of your thinking? The enemy is what lies in between the 6 inches in between our ears. It's our thinking. That's the problem. Because I'm programmed to every morning to wake up with self-pity. Every morning. It's like, why me? How come? What? Why do I? Yeah. That type of thing. Why me? How come they don't? And I, you know, the self-pity. And then top it off with self-seeking motivations. And dishonest motivation? You got a full nut in front of you. That knows how to look professional. And I'll never forget that movie, what is it, the end, where Burt Reynolds wakes up and Dom DeLuise is interviewing him, and he's in his shorts, he thinks it's the doctor, and he's in his underwear. It's like that, you know? You got a person that looks professional, but the total nut inside. And that's me. And pages 86 through 88 of the big book, it says that every morning we have to divorce ourselves, ask God to divorce ourselves from those thoughts. Only then can we trust our thought process, because God did give us a brain. See? But how is that manifested? It's manifested when we do service for others. I hate that. I mean, I don't even like the guy. And he wants a ride. You know, I didn't even like the lady. You know, it's like she looks goofy. Talk about being servers, helping the newcomer. You know, and then it says that the only thing that's supposed to come out of my mouth all that day is "Thy will be done, not mine." Are you kidding? I just got flipped off by now. All right, over there. You flipped me off, and I went back. In the past, I would have put them off. Whoa, you too, pal. You know, what can I do? I used to wake up every morning thinking people had something against me. And I'll tell you what, I have a perfect idea. Outside of John, you and the rest of you didn't think of me at all this morning. John did. He says, I wonder if it's going to show up. Oh my God. But I said, I didn't know you thought about me, right? That's it. Nobody cares. You know, we need to belong to the 40, 40, and 20 club. 40% care about you, 40% don't, and 20% finish it. I'm not the center of the universe. I am one of you. I am one of you. And you know what? I'm never going to graduate from this friggin' program. So stop preparing my luggage. Because I'm going to stay. I have to stay. Because once I leave these programs, I'll go back to where I was very quickly. Because then, you know what my head will say?
They're normal.
You don't need those nuts. Are you crazy? They're nuts. They're crazy. What about that guy? He's always missing. What about her? You know? And he says to me, oh, they're right, they're crazy. I don't belong there. Especially if you have family members that say, you know, why do you keep going there? You know, she hasn't lost any weight. You're not one of them. To me today, God is my higher power. God is, I am the manifestation of my higher power. You know, how much of my recovery God is involved? 100%. It's on Him, on Him that I was able to do it, not me. And I'll tell you why I say that. When I made my decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him, I was willing to be under the influence of a higher power. Just like when I used to drink, I used to love the influence, and it would take me anywhere. You know, I'd go driving, I'd go to this bar, I'd go to this party. Under the influence of a higher power takes me where recovery is. See, today I seek where love is, not where it should be. See what I'm saying? I go where the recovery is. I don't try to change anybody but myself. I try to be at peace with myself so I can be with peace with you. I ask God, your will be done, not mine. And I'm telling you, if there ever was a period right now of life that's been the most difficult, it's right now. I'm telling you, I have so much crap happening right now in my personal life that I could bore you and fill out the rest of the minutes with it. But I'm telling you, I know that this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And people are asking me to sponsor, and I'm going, what the hell are you asking? I mean, that's, you know how much problems I have right now? You only want a sponsor. Talk to Jerry. You know, the thing is, what I'm trying to get at is that because I'm in recovery, because I've lost weight, life still happens. Shit happens. You know, it's not meant to be calm because that's flatlining. There's highs and lows. You know? And changes. Here's another thing. I don't like change. Change is not good, but change is good. Things have to change. But the only way my ass is going to move is when that tap finally hurts my ass and I'll move it. And all this time, you know, people are telling me, you know, you need to move. And someone said to me, you know, a wise person learns from others' mistakes. A knucklehead learns on his own. You know? Can you imagine how many years of suffering I would have stopped if I had listened to that? Really? You just can't have one cookie? Really, you shouldn't? I had to do my own research. And every time I relapse, it's called research. Go back and do research. I had a sponsor tell me, you know, Dan, you need to do more research. But why? Because you're too stubborn. And nil. The results are nil until we let go. Absolutely, nil stands for not a chance in hell. It's going to work until you let go. But here's the problem with overeaters anonymous. I believe firmly that we should have some form of an evaluation test when they come in. Anybody with a 70 IQ and less can come into this program. So sit down and shut up. They sit down and shut up. Read this page, they'll sit down and read this page. Call me tomorrow at 9 o'clock, fine. But you get the smart ones, 70 and above. Sit here, they don't sit there. Go to this meeting, they don't go to that meeting. Call me at 9 o'clock, they don't call. Go to 90 meetings any day, they don't. They're too freaking smart. And we're killing ourselves with it. So I think an IQ of 70 is pretty well safe. Today's prayer for me is, God, keep me a newcomer. 10 minutes, okay. Keep me a newcomer. Let me have that same enthusiasm of coming to a meeting, of what I can bring to it as to what I can take. Because it's by giving. Right? That's what it says in the prayer of St. Francis. It's by giving. My disease only knows how to take. It only knows how to take. My time, my convenience, my schedule, my job. It's only mine. See? And it's in that type of thinking that we don't know what to do with those feelings. What do? We use excess food to calm it down. I'm a mort eater, so I used to judge restaurants by the amount. So if you got shit like this, I said, that's a great restaurant. You get big portions, you know. Regardless of this crap. So Taco Bell for me was heaven. Because I needed all that much food to hit that switch internally that would stop it. That would stop the thoughts, the craziness in my head. That would hit that switch and turn off the light. Say, okay, you can go to sleep now. And I did it with lettuce. And I did it with carrots. I did it with water. And I'm in total amazement. I've seen little anorexics with goddamn 5-gallon buckets drinking Slurpee, like with a straw. And I'm going, what are you doing? You know, where'd you get that bucket? You know? I have to drink water. Drink water? Are you nuts? If anything, you know, you shouldn't be drinking that much water.
I've seen people eat huge amounts of lettuce and say it's awesome. You know, it's the amount that's smaller. More is less is more, really. But it's so uncomfortable. Now, when I hear people say, you know what? Nothing bothers me. How are you doing? Okay. You mean nothing bothers me? No, my life is all right. And then I say, well, don't you stop eating. You'll find out what's bothering you. So, one guy took me up on that. And he stopped eating and says, you know what? I really hate my mother. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? When you're no longer sedating, how things come up, right? So what do? Do we go change the mother? Do we change the events? No. I change myself. And acceptance is the key to all my life's problems today. When I'm uncomfortable, it's because some person, place, or thing just doesn't agree with me. And I cannot find no rest until I accept that person, place, or thing 100% as it should be. Who knew? Yeah? And it's those simple answers that drive me nuts because I want to read into it. Acceptance really means approval. Yeah, that's it. Well, God, if you want me to accept today's day, make sure it's in accordance with my schedule. And by the way, God, if you're going to do anything in my life, give me a 30-day notice. So I can prepare. Because for me, worrying is preparing. And like I say, if you pray, why worry? And if you worry, why pray? You know, and we spend our lives, oh God, help me, thy will be done. And all day long, that's all I do is think of the circumstance that I can't even change. And according to my head, I should be dead under a bridge, homeless, and they're going to like pass by and kick my body out of the way, and they're just going to put pavement over me, you know. And it hasn't happened. But that's what my head said. How much recovery do you want? Well, how much are you willing to give? How much of Overeaters Anonymous do you want? How much are you willing to give? Okay. You give, you get what you give. You go to one meeting a week, that's all you got, pal. You come whenever you want, that's all you're going to get. That's how it works. Remember, I need to be brainwashed every day. I do it because, man, my head comes up with some very creative ideas. So I need to come to meetings, and I come to meetings, and I try to go at least to 4 or 5 meetings a week, because I need that. Because I need your sanity. I need your recovery. I need you to remind me that, hey, easy does it. I need you to tell me that this too shall pass. I need you to remind me that, turn it over. Let go and let God. See, when I let go, everything has hallmarks on it. I did say I was going to give it to you, God, but you know what? Let me check it again. And I let go, and I really didn't mean it. You know, my God box has an unscrupulous top. Yeah, that's the one. It's amazing. You know, the only enemy is me. It's me. It's how I think. It's how I think because it's a selfish-centered mind that lives in here. That has an ego of a king and the ego of a piece of shit. I'm in both extremes. I can go to work, I can go into society thinking I'm superior to you, or the mat that you have to walk on. Recovery says I need to be in the balance. You're never going to be the top, and you're never going to be before the bottom. You're just going to be. Be still and know I'm God, says one of the Psalms. Be still and know. Be still. Be. You know, for compulsive overeaters, it's hard to be. It's hard to be. Just accept what it is right now. Many of us are in meetings and we're not here. We're living what happened yesterday. We're living what's going to happen tomorrow. But we're not here. Physically, we are. But in our head, we're worrying about something that hasn't happened. Or something that we have no control that already happened. Resentment means to refeel. We refeel again. That's why that's toxic for a compulsive overeater. It's very toxic. Because what does that do?
It drives us crazy.
You know? We take the poison expecting for you to die. You know? I'm going to show you. See? So those are the things we need to clear out of our lives. But the downfall of Dr. Lennox is that it starts in the head long ago. I say, I need to go to meetings so I can get stronger so I can come back and try the dark. I can try the chips. I need to get strong so I can try it. And once I'm strong again, I can control it. And it doesn't work that way. Today, food for me is nutrition. It has nothing to do with it's going to change my life. Because like the alcoholic and the normie, the glass of beer for the normie is just a beverage. For the alcoholic, oh man, it's going to make me forget about that asshole boss of mine, that bank account that I hate so much, that wife that just doesn't understand me, my life that sucks. It has a life meaning change. Same thing with food. There's that comfort in food that's amazing. It has nothing to do with comfort. It has to deal with how are you with yourself. How are you with your higher power? Those are the things that are very important to me today. Now, am I human? You know, I'm human. You know, do I slip? Instead of walking water, I slip on. You know, I have my moments. I'm not the most spiritual person sometimes. One day I was feeling like crap and I got a sponsor to call me. I'm just calling to check in. Yeah, so? Since you don't have to be snippy with me, I said I wasn't trying to be snippy. Yes, I was. I was upset. I'm sorry. Those words, I'm sorry. Who wants to admit total defeat? Who wants to admit bankruptcy? Well, I do. Because it's in the middle of the defeat that I get the recovery. Okay?
Friend of mine says, oh, don't worry, you got enough gas, it'll okay. Keep them going. She's like, okay, so wrap up. The 12 steps, I can't tell you how important the 12 steps. But I used to work first and 12. See, in between the count, all stuff. And I always wanted to do them microwave style. Quick. It takes a process. You want to be smaller in size, you got to be willing to feel more. You got to be willing to accept more. You want to see that big size? Keep it. You'll be sedating. You'll be killing yourself, but you'll be there. But if you're willing to live a smaller body, be willing to feel shit. Also be willing to feel good things, too. And that's what a lot of us need to work on our issues, because a lot of us have sexual molestation, sexual abuse, physical abuse. There's a reason we carry this layer, to keep people away. I used to be like Godzilla. Nobody can touch me. Well, now that all this crap is gone, man, it's like, hey, I feel every friggin' thing. But I also feel good things, too. You know? Today I have a life. I cycle. You know? I'm still recuperating from a surgery that I had not so long ago in April, but I normally will cycle up to Ojai. I live in Ventura. I'll shut up in a second. I live in Camarillo, and I go from Ventura to Ojai. That's 30 miles round trip. I cycle. At 400 pounds, I could never do that. I can never. I couldn't even get on a friggin' bike. You know? I also dance. I play guitar. I'm a percussionist. Those things, I always dreamt about at 400 pounds on the couch. One day. See what I'm saying? And today I'm invisible. People don't look at me and say, well, what a weird guy. How come he just can't control his weight? I sit on a plane seat and I don't need an extension. I needed a friggin' extension. And I would hide in my seat and then the friggin' stewardess would call up the dial saying, who wanted the seat extension? And I'd go, I'm the only 400-pound person here. I can't tell you how embarrassing it was when I had to go shop for clothes. Because I would see that they barely fit. And when I remember one guy says, you're two sizes from the top, pal. And for a pair of slacks, $60. And I said, how come it's so expensive? It's more material. Still didn't make the connection. All diets work. Everything out there to lose weight works. What keeps it off is this program. Thank you for that, Michelle. Yeah.